I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, judges hearing presidential election petition again warn counsel for parties to use decorous language or face disciplinary action. Security task force investigating fire outbreaks in some markets in Accra submits a report to U.S. team invited by President Mahama. NGOs painting exaggerated pictures of child labor in the country to face sanctions. And striking Greek workers protest shutdown of state broadcaster. But first, the summary with Doreen Ampofu.
The 9-member panel hearing the presidential election petition at the Supreme Court has sounded a third and final warning to the bar to stop the use of unsavory comments. They warned that henceforth disciplinary actions for unethical conduct will be taken against any lawyer who uses indecorous language. The warning came after lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, accused the chairman of the Electoral Commission of being untruthful and untrustworthy. The Security Task Force investigating fire outbreaks in some markets in Accra has submitted its report to the U.S. team invited by President Mahama. Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Murtala Mohammed, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, said the report is going to serve as a guide to the U.S. investigators to unravel the mystery behind the rampant fire outbreaks. NGOs that continue to paint exaggerated pictures of child labor in the country in order to extort monies from donors who face sanctions, speaking on the floor of Parliament to mark World Day Against Child Labour, the Deputy Minister of the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations in Chibwe Siako Setre said that the negative and undesirable images being peddled by these organizations are denting the good name of Ghana. And striking Greek workers are expected to protest the shutdown of state broadcaster ERT. Trade unions and all Greek media are to take part in the 24-hour industrial action, and protests are planned later in the day. Meanwhile, Press Prime Minister Antonis Samaras says he stands by his move, saying ERT is the symbol of waste and lack of transparency.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. Judges hearing the presidential election petition have once again warned lawyers representing the various parties to use decorous language at all times. The warning came after lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, accused chairman of the Electoral Commission of being untruthful and untrustworthy. This was after Dr. Farajan had wanted to take home a register produced by Mr. Addison to cross-check with the original copies at the EC. Justice Paul Bafoboni was first to complain.
For the avoidance of doubt, we will leave this copy with the court. They should bring their copy. It's as simple as that. They should bring their copy. I will leave it to the court.
That is all that they
have. I do not think that I will leave it to this witness.
No.
They have been so untruthful throughout these proceedings. I don't trust them one bit.
But those statements are clearly wrong. I think this message has been sent.
My lord.
Please listen to me. When I'm talking, you have to keep quiet. You see, this message has been delivered so many times. Whatever you say is to the bench. If you say you don't trust, if you use any negative word, they impact negatively on the bench. So you shouldn't be using these words. That is clear and, I mean, simple. I don't see why you don't get it.
For his part, presiding Judge Justice William Atuguba warned that subsequently, disciplinary actions will be taken against offending lawyers.
Let us say this, that it's not everything that the bench must specifically comment upon. Sometimes a general statement is made that covers what has arisen. If it comes and no complaint is made or it passes, we feel that okay, let it go. But from time to time, we do call attention that this matter should be avoided. I quite remember at a certain stage, I clearly said that the slate had been wiped clean of this, that it would be a fresh start. And we do not want to, you know, be petty-minded. But the insinuation of what you said is that the bench has not been fair to both sides on equal terms. And that one, I do not think it's a fair castigation of us. But the clear implication of this is that we now have to apply the rules of the ethics, the rules of courtroom procedure. We've always said that lawyers appearing, both at common law under all the statutes under the Legal Profession Act, are officers of the court. We have those powers to deal with the conduct of any lawyer appearing before us. So many can walk you out, can deal with you for contempt, we can refer you to the disciplinary committee. All these are ample powers. But we feel that, you know, power is for the benefit of human beings, not for his sake. So we've tried to, you know, let it, but if you feel that we are failing in our duty and we start punching, then that is not our fault. So, okay, finally, all you here are witnesses. The slate for the final time has been wiped clean. Let's proceed.
Presiding Judge of the Supreme Court hearing the presidential election petition, Justice William Atuguba.
Now again, at the Supreme Court, there's still controversy over the pin sheets filed by the petitioners at the registry. At yesterday's hearing, proceedings were halted for several hours due to disagreements over whether or not the pin sheets were actually filed with the court. Lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, was still cross-examining EC boss Dr. Kujar Faridan. However, the respondents allege that they do not have most of the pink sheets Mr. Addison intends to use to cross-examine Dr. Faridan. Mr. Addison insisted that all the pink sheets were filed and asked the respondents to indicate those that they have so that those that they do not have could be identified. Bubu Klinugu and George Asikwe's report.
The respondents have for a long time indicated that the exhibits do not correspond with each other, to the extent that different pink sheets have the same exhibit numbers. As things stand now, it is extremely difficult for lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, to continue cross-examining the chairman of the EC, Dr. Kwajua Farijan, on the pink sheet. In view of this, Mr. Addison could only cross-examine the witness on non-pink sheet-related matters until after the issues are resolved by the audit being undertaken by the accounting firm KPMG.
The pack of 7 envelopes that were given to us last week, Thursday, we have checked and there are only 3 pink sheets that correspond to the exhibits we have. We have not received any other batch of documents, or the exhibit numbers and the polling station names and codes were different. All the rest, and they are about 257, my lord, and only 3.
We don't even know whether the EC has the same documents as the first and third respondents. We don't know. All they do is we produce the documents and they'll say, and we don't have this. It's not helpful. It's not at all helpful. We need to know what you have, first of all. But this way of doing it, that makes it completely helpless.
I can volunteer here to go and say to Mr. Kotoapa, if you'll not say tomorrow, so we can agree within the ranges that they have difficulties. Let's see if we can get a few of them that they can use for the next. I don't want it to appear as if we are being unduly obstructive of this process, but we have genuine concern.
My lord, I would just like to add a point which I think is important. My lord, what we're drawing attention to is that in some cases, as with the MBJ88, effectively you have two different polling stations being referred to. Now, if you have two different polling stations, we're in a case where petitioners are trying to annul results from polling stations. Which of those two are we going to select? And that is being repeated in these other batches that have been given. So if you have so many instances where the same exhibit number is being used for two different polling stations, then the problem that this court is going to face is really quite a problem, because they are asking you to nullify the votes of citizens of this country, and they cannot even be clear on which polling station they are talking about. We have MBJ88 referring to one polling station in one case, and then suddenly they pull out another MBJ88 which refers to another polling station. And these other 200 and more instances are in exactly that category. We simply cannot operate like that. This will in part be resolved when we have the list from the referee as regards what has been filed, especially when it is checked against the control mechanism, because we have clearly indicated that the registrar's copies were compromised.
My lord, we do not know what the third respondent has been served with. It still remains a state secret. He has refused to disclose it to this court. Then, first respondent also tags along. When third respondent says he does not have it, he also says he doesn't. And lately, second respondent has joined the chorus. Now, we are aware that when first respondent was served with processes, he went back again to be supplied with documentation he did not have, which implies he now has been served with everything. We have always been aware of this. So it surprises us very much that every time this matter comes up, he gets up to say he has not got A, he has not got B. With respect to second respondent, when he was served, he refused service the first time on the grounds that he did not have the full complement of the pink sheet, as a result of which he had to be served the next day. That is how come he had an extra day to respond to our affidavit. Now, having accepted service the second time, full service of pink sheet, does it lie in his mouth to join this chorus, to keep on saying that he hasn't received this, he hasn't received that?
It is, however, not clear when KPMG will complete its work. Meanwhile, Mr. Addison also cross-examined Dr. Afarijan on the unsigned pink sheet and registration of minors.
You have already told this court that you accept that 905 pink sheets were not signed by the presiding officer.
Yes, my lord.
Now, can you make available to us the list of these 905 polling stations?
My lord, he submitted the exhibits to us, and it's from the exhibits that we made that assessment.
Yes, you have indicated 905, and we are asking if you can provide the list of these 905, so we know precisely the polling stations you're talking about.
My lord, yes, with time we could give the specific polling stations that we're talking about.
You can provide it tomorrow?
My lord, I can provide that by Monday.
Now, Dr. Afarijan, are there minors registered in the 2012 final voters register?
My lord, technically, no.
What does that mean?
It means there's nobody on the register whose age will be shown to be under 18.
But otherwise, there are people on the register who could be said to be minors.
My lord, I don't know the basis on which you would say that.
So what is the meaning of technically? When you say technically, it means that it's possible that they are minors.
But I mean, even if they are minors, you would not see by the look of it.
So which is which? Are there minors or there are no minors?
There are no minors.
But you recall you had a press conference and you said there were minors on the register.
There are no minors. I appealed, my lord, to the general public, saying that some people looked from the picture to be under the age, required age. And if that were the case, everybody should help us to remove those names from the register. Some of them were removed on that basis, so I would assume that those that are left are not under 18.
Dr. Afarijan is expected to produce some registers which the petitioners claim contain double registrations.
Bubukli Nugu and George Asikri's report.
The Center for Democratic Development has trained 15 females to educate people to accept the outcome of the 2012 election petition hearing at the Supreme Court. Speaking at today's workshop on promoting democratic citizenship to enhance electoral peace, transparency and credibility, The programs officer of CDD, Kwabena Abraham-Pamensa, said the project is to ensure that peace continues to prevail after the verdict of the court. Here's a report by Naomi Kome and Emmanuel Anunu.
Center for Democratic Development, in collaboration with Friedrich Naumann Foundation and the European Union, have completed a project aimed at promoting democratic tenets to enhance election peace, transparency, and credibility in the country. 15 districts were elected for the project, which lasted for 36 months. Challenges faced were limited resources and getting qualified and dedicated women who are interested in politics. Mr. Abraham-Pamensa said the project was intended to educate people on the procedures and processes that lead to peaceful, transparent, and credible elections in the nation. He said the project was also aimed at instilling civic responsibility in the people.
The two parties will continue to sensitize their people based on what they believe, and that's exactly what they have filed as affidavit to the court. We, as the middlemen, what do we do? Because the danger of the sensitization to a take entrenched stand is that the minds of their followers are prepared for only one result, that is victory. If at the end of the petition, victory does not go to their side, it will be very difficult for them to accept anything apart from that. So whilst MPP and DC are proclaiming victory and psychologically working the minds of their people to accept that, we, the middlemen, should also have to tell them election goes either way, and whichever verdict that comes out must be accepted. The situation where the election petition is being heard in court itself is a plus democracy to Ghana. Elsewhere in other jurisdictions, you see six stone guns being fired, and it's part of our legal regime. That's why Her Ladyship, the Chief Justice, produced the election adjudication manual and distributed to everybody in the country. It tells you that, yes, it's a part of the process. But how do followers accept the final verdict is the challenge now we have to work on.
Mr. Abraham-Pamensa said the project has increased the capacity and interest of young women in democratic principles. A programs manager for WorldDAF, Frank Boza, called on the government to work on the affirmative action bill for more women to contest in the 2016 election. He also asked that government recruit more interpreters to Center for the Deaf and Dumb, since they can be easily misled.
That report was found by Naomi Komi and Emmanuela Nunu.
There was drama when the acting managing director of the Ghana Water Company, Kwoku Godwin Dovlo, appeared before the commission inquiring into issues leading to the payment of judgment debt. He gave evidence in respect of a case involving the payment of compensation to the owners of the land where the Barekesi Dam in the Ashanti region is currently situated. In his evidence, he indicated that part of the compensation was paid to the solicitor of the claimant, but there was nothing in the documents he presented showing that the solicitor received it. This prompted the Commissioner Justice Yawa Pau to point out to him. Mr. Dovlo reacted by referring to a letter tendered among the evidence. Justice Apau read the letter to the hearing of everybody, which did not indicate that the solicitor received any money. We bring you Ernest Obinyanim's report.
The Lands Valuation Division of the Lands Commission, Bank of Ghana, and the Ghana Water Company appeared before the commission. They all appeared in respect of the compensation paid to the landowners of the Barekesi Dam in the Ashanti region. The chief valuer in charge of compensation schedule, Pesi Bento Encho, represented the Lands Valuation Division. He told the commission that his outfit is aware of the case, adding that the land was assessed and came out with more than 6 million Ghana cedis as compensation. However, 50% of more than 4 million Ghana cedis was paid to the Land Valuation Division, which disbursed to the claimants. Asked about remaining 50%, he said he did not know whether it had been paid or not. The next to appear was the head of domestic banking from the Bank of Ghana, Leslie Akron, who said the compensation was paid in 3 installments. He said 50% was paid in February 2008 and that went to land valuation, which disbursed it. The second was paid in January 2009 and the third in March 2009. They both went to Ghana Water Company. The acting managing director, Kwoku Godwin Dovlo, gave evidence in respect of the case and tendered in documents, but the two did not.
So what you told us is different from the documentation you have given us. My Lord, I don't know whether maybe I will reach a particular letter from what I presented, but there is a letter here from the solicitor to the landowner.
Yes, I've seen that letter. Is that the one dated January 9th?
Yes, my Lord.
Yes, it's a letter, it's not a receipt. I want to read it. It says, I acknowledge the receipt of your letter, fax, letters to fax on the above subject matter, dated the 8th day of January 2009, and I have noted the contents thereof. I hereby confirm and declare that the payment of the amount of 2,150,781.13 is in full and final payment or settlement of all the claims of my client's concern or related to this subject matter. I thank you, sir. So it is not a receipt. He is confirming that if that money is paid, it is a full and final settlement. But you have not given us any document which shows that the money was paid and it was receipted for in two different installments.
The lead counsel of the commission, Dometi Kofisokpo, appealed to the Ghana Water Company to furnish the commission with all documents on the case.
Ernest Obinim filed that report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Judges hearing presidential election petition again warn counsel for parties to use decorous language or face disciplinary action. Security Task Force investigating fire outbreaks in some markets in Accra submits report to U.S. team invited by President Mahama. NGOs painting exaggerated pictures of child labor in the country to face sanctions, and striking Greek workers protest shutdown of state broadcaster.
The Security Committee set up to investigate fire outbreaks in some markets in Accra has submitted its report to the U.S. team of experts invited by President Mahama to help unravel the rampant fire outbreaks. The Security Committee was set up when the first outbreak occurred at the Kantamantu market. Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mutala Mohammed, disclosed this on our current affairs program behind the news last night.
At the time, His Excellency the President was announcing to Ghanaians that the Americans indeed offered to assist, that team had already taken pictures of all the places this fire, this market burned. And they sent the information to the team that is in Ghana now, that arrived yesterday. In fact, the team that arrived in Ghana yesterday are made up of three member teams from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Explosives, and Fire of the Security Department of the United States of America. There are other members who are coming, and those members, they've done their inoculation, they would have to wait for some time before they come. But let me also use your airwaves to also announce for the first time that the committee, the security that was tasked to investigate the fire incident in Ghana before this American assistance was accepted, indeed have finished with their work, and they submitted the interim report to the Americans when they arrived today. What the Americans are going to do, they are going to work in collaboration with our security agency. But I say that, in fact, the committee that was tasked by His Excellency the President to investigate this had actually, they've actually finished with their work and submitted the interim report to the Americans. They sat down together, they had briefings, and they are working together. And I also indicated earlier that there were some pictures that were taken. I have heard people who say that by now, that evidences available would have been destroyed. In fact, when the thing happened, the team that took the pictures did that and sent the pictures to the team that is in Ghana today.
Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mutala Mohammed.
The Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations is going all out to fish out non-governmental organisations who are painting exaggerated pictures of child labour in the country. The Deputy Minister in Chibuisi Akosetre says the modus operandi of the NGOs is to portray child labour with slave-like images of children so as to extort monies from donor agencies that are sympathetic to their narrations. Mr. Setra said this when he read a statement in Parliament to mark World Day Against Child Labour. He said the negative and undesirable images being peddled around by these organisations are denting the good name of Ghana. Augustus Akwe and Dominic Noje have filed this report.
The importance attached to child labour issues by Parliament came to bear when four different MPs came prepared to present separate statements to mark World Day Against Child Labour. Apart from the Deputy Minister of the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations, in Chibuisa Akosetre, a Deputy Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Rachel Apo, a Minister of State at the Presidency, Comfort Kujogansa, An MP for Achiman Nwabieja South, Anthony Buache, also made similar statements. Mr. Setre said the Statistical Service is undertaking a labor force survey, which, when completed, will provide relevant data on child labor for informed decision-making. He commended the good work being done by some NGOs in ensuring that children are well protected. He sounded a warning to NGOs who are giving false impressions about child labor.
There are others that are taking advantage of the prevalent child labor situation in Ghana and portraying negative and undesirable images about it. But these NGOs go to the extent of portraying child labor with flip-like images about our children that permits them to extort money from institutions that are sympathetic to their direction. Mr. Speaker, the perpetrators of such unethical behavior will be fit out and dealt with according to our law.
The MP for Achiman Punya, Isaac Esiama, called on government to ensure such dubious NGOs are brought to book.
That was Augustus Akwe and Dominic Lodge's report.
The Kama Education Project has initiated moves to educate teachers on the need to emphasize more on entrepreneurial and skills development training. This will move students away from seeking non-existent white-collar jobs and create their own. The chief executive officer of the project, Dr. Michael Ejekum Ado, disclosed this when he met editors of media houses in Accra. Justice Mengel sat in for Radio Ghana.
The meeting was intended to encourage the media to do more to influence students to take to blue-collar jobs instead of craving for non-existent office work. The chief executive officer of the Kama Education Project, Dr. Michael Ejekum Ado, briefed the editors on efforts by his organization to build the capacity of teachers to enable them impart to their students vocational and entrepreneurial skills. He said teachers are being encouraged to link their subjects to business, adding that teachers are the focus of the activities because they spend more time with the students than parents. Dr. Ado said the biggest challenge facing Ghana's educational system is the emphasis on theories rather than practicals. He suggested to teachers to take their students on excursions to enable them to have practical feel of subjects taught them. Dr. Ado also introduced to the editors a book he has written, The Seven Principles of Success and Wealth Creation, Experience of an Accomplished Entrepreneur. The book takes readers through the personal experiences of Dr. Ado, from his childhood days to his present success as a wealthy businessman and CEO of the Kama Group of Companies. He charged students to cut down on expenditure in order to save for the future. They must also invest their monies in fruitful ventures to reap more in future. The editors commended Dr. Ado for his selfless leading to the crusade he has personally embarked upon to impart his success message to teachers and, for that matter, students.
Justice Mengel's report. The neglected Tropical Diseases Unit of the Ghana Health Service has embarked on a national exercise to educate the public on the dangers and treatment of lymphatic filariasis, commonly known as elephantiasis. The disease, which can affect any part of the body and cause much pain and disability, is transmitted by the Anopheles mosquito. According to the Assistant Chief Technical Officer, Samuel Odum, the unit will begin the distribution of drugs throughout the country next week. Communities within the endemic district must therefore take advantage of the program to help eliminate the disease. Mr. Odum announced this on Radio Ghana's Current Affairs Program Focus. He appealed to people in the communities to comply fully with the distribution process for effective outcome. The program manager of NTDs, Dr. Nana Kujubrichum, also said the main challenge facing the unit is a lack of adequate funding for other aspects of the program, even though the drugs and vaccines are available free of charge by the World Health Organization and other donors.
Former Ivorian Budget Minister Justin Kone Katinan facing extradition process at the Wusu District Court in Accra on robbery charges has ended his evidence regarding the matter in court. Katinan was granted audience by the court after the prosecution closed its case. Led in evidence by his counsel, Patrick Sobojo, Justin Katinan said extraditing him to Cote d'Ivoire will mean his torture and death and not necessarily the opportunity to defend himself at the trial.
In foreign news, a general strike has begun in Greece in protest at government's surprise move to shut down state broadcaster ERT, with the loss of nearly 2,700 jobs. Trade unions and all Greek media are taking part in the 24-hour industrial action, and protests are planned later in the day. Meanwhile, Greek Prime Minister Antonis Samaras stands by his move, saying ERT is a symbol of waste and lack of transparency.
The U.S. is debating what more it might do to help the Syrian opposition in its conflict with the government. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said the U.S. has weighed for months whether to give arms to the rebels, but given the increased involvement of Hezbollah and Iran in backing Syrian President Bashar al-Assad on the battlefield, the issue is now firmly on the table.
Now to all the news, the main points again. Judges hearing the presidential election petition at the Supreme Court say, henceforth, disciplinary action will be taken against any lawyer who makes unsavory comments or goes against the ethics of the profession. Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Murtala Mohammed, says the Security Task Force investigating fire outbreaks in some markets in Accra has submitted its report to the U.S. team to serve as a guide to unravel the mystery behind the rampant fires. Deputy Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Ntribuisi Akosetre, says NGOs that continue to paint exaggerated pictures of child labour in the country in order to extort money from donors will face sanctions. And striking Greek workers are expected to protest the shutdown of state broadcaster ERT. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Doreen Ampofu in Accra.